Morning, HBC. I'm sorry I can't be with you in person, but I'm glad that I could at least do this recording for you. And I hope that you find the message this morning a blessing to you. Well, let me ask you a question to start with. How good are you at asking for help? A few of us may be shameless at asking for help, but the majority of us often really struggle with it, especially with our British reserve. Asking for help can make us feel weak. We don't want to be seen as being unable to cope or to feel that we are not in control. We also don't want to put people out or test our friendship too much, just in case it breaks. Asking for help can be a very vulnerable process. And yet, that is where I found myself this week. With my wife testing positive with COVID and then having to self-isolate, I have had to take charge of the household, which means looking after Kate and our three lively children and a young and demanding puppy to boot, while trying to continue with my work too. On top of this, our washing machine also broke this week, which means we can't do any of the huge piles of washing that we've been meaning to do. It's just been one of those weeks. Now, trying to juggle these things means that one or more of these things were certainly getting compromised, and I was getting tired and stretched. So we asked for help. Not an easy thing to do, especially when the need lasts longer than a day. But I have been overwhelmed by the amount of help that has been offered. Our church family have done us proud. Thank you, all of you who've been in touch and supported us. We've had cooked meals offered to us, people helping with our washing, and people offering to walk the dog. All of this help has enabled me to look after Kate, to clean the house, and to get some work done while the kids are at school. And without this help, I don't think you'd be having this recorded sermon right now, let's be honest. Sometimes, when the need is great, we have to swallow our pride, admit defeat, and ask for help. And Jesus instructs his disciples on how to pray. He tells a parable of someone in need. They have had an unexpected visit from a friend and have no food to give them. Now, the laws of hospitality in the ancient Middle East were quite strict. If a traveler arrived needing food and shelter, you were obliged to provide it. So, this person knows he has no choice but to ask his friend to lend him bread because he has none, and this puts him in an embarrassing predicament. And so, he bangs on the door and calls out to his friend late at night, waking him and his family up and probably half of the neighborhood with him. Can you imagine it? How many of us would feel mortified at doing this late at night? Now, the friend inside is understandably miffed to be woken up in the middle of the night and states that it's too late to help. Me and the family are already tucked up in bed. Leave us alone. But because the friend outside is relentless, he eventually gives in and gives him what he asks for. Now, what is Jesus trying to show us by using this story? Is he saying that God is like a friend who doesn't want to get out of bed, but if we nag him enough, he will? If he's our good heavenly father, as Jesus goes on to say, then why would we need to nag him? Why would he not want to give us what we ask for the first time around? What is Jesus trying to show us here? Well, as already stated, the context of this parable is prayer. At the beginning of this chapter, the disciples have asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and Jesus gives them the model of prayer to use, the Lord's Prayer, as we now know it. And then he tells this parable. And I don't think Jesus' main reason for telling it was to say that God is like a grumpy, sleepy old friend who is unresponsive, though perhaps some of you have thought this at times. Perhaps that's how you still feel God is. But no, the Bible is full of much more positive and truthful images of God than this. And in the passage today, Jesus actually goes on to talk about God as our Heavenly Father, who longs to give good gifts to those who ask. No, I think Jesus' main point in telling the disciples this parable was to encourage them in their approach to prayer. As Tom Wright puts it, Jesus is encouraging a holy boldness, a sharp knocking on the door, an insistent asking, a search that never gives up. The man at the door is in need. He needs help now. And he is not going to stop asking and banging on the door until he gets his bread. Jesus is encouraging this same urgency in our prayer life, as if our life depended on it. A shameless, bold as brass approach. Now, perhaps this approach to prayer sits uncomfortably with you. Perhaps you're thinking, we can't talk to God like that. He'll think we're being rude and turn his back on us. Or perhaps you think you can't ask God more than a few times because his patience and grace will run out. But no, Jesus encourages us to be bold as brass, to be shameless and persistent in our prayers. A modern day equivalent of this parable is like my children nagging us for a dog. 5.5 years ago, when we moved to Braintree, our children began pestering us for a dog. But having just moved house and settling into a new area, a new school, a new church, a new job, we felt that getting a puppy wasn't quite a priority, but it was to the kids. And they were persistent, and they kept on asking and pleading with us to change our mind. We kept them at bay for 4 years. Can you believe that? And then, after much conversation and thought, my wife and I decided to relent, and we agreed to get a puppy. And when we broke the news to our children on holiday, they were beside themselves with joy. Jesus encourages us to be like little children, doesn't he? And this is what children are like when they want something desperately. It's shameless, it's bold as brass, and it's persistent. That's exactly how Jesus encourages us to pray for the things that really matter. Now, last term, the elders and I spent much time praying and reflecting on what we felt were the key areas for prayer for HBC for this coming year. And after much talk and prayer, we whittled it down to the following 6 areas. We want to encourage prayer for unity, for holistic healing, and that simply means for healing that covers our whole selves, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, We want to encourage prayer for deepening spirituality. We wanted to encourage prayer for the elderly and those that are isolated, for children and youth, and a prayer for a heart for outreach. Now, of course, these six areas are not exhaustive. There are many other things we can and must pray into that will not necessarily fit into these six categories. But as an eldership, we felt that these six areas were key for the life and witness of HBC in this coming year. And to help us remember these six prayers, areas of prayer, we've created some prayer cards, which are available to pick up in the church, and they've also been sent to you on email. So can I encourage you to print the prayer card off or collect one from church and keep it somewhere you will see it each day? Put it in your wallet or purse. Use it as a bookmark. Stick it on the fridge or beside your bed or on the mirror. And then incorporate these six areas of prayer into your daily prayers this year. As there are six, perhaps you can pray for one each day, Monday through to Saturday. And then together on Sunday, we can celebrate all that God has done through the week. Jesus encourages us to pray. Shamelessly, boldly, and persistently. If you've been praying for ages for something you really want to see happen, and you've not yet seen a breakthrough, can I encourage you not to give up? Keep going. Persevere and be persistent, just like my children, who nagged us for 4 years to get a dog. And that's the thing, isn't it? Jesus says at the end of this passage that if those of us who are parents, broken and flawed as we are, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Why can we be as bold as brass in our prayers? Because God is our Heavenly Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. He knows us completely. He loves us completely. And he wants to see us live lives in all of its fullness. He wants to provide for all of our needs. And this is all possible because Jesus made a way back for us to the Father. Through his death on the cross, our sins are forgiven, and we've been reconciled back to the Father, welcomed into his family. We are his children. And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for us continuously, praying for our best in front of the Father, unashamedly and persistently. And we are given this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father longs to pour out over his children, to sustain us and help us as we seek to follow Jesus and live for him. Our God is not a grumpy, sleepy, reluctant friend, but a huge-hearted, compassionate, gracious, heavenly Father who longs to give good gifts to his children. So let us boldly approach him in prayer. Boldly approach him because we can, because of Jesus and all that he's done. He's made a way for us to come boldly before the Father. And we come boldly in the knowledge that our God loves us. So let's do that. Let's come before him and let's pray unashamedly and persistently as we do. God bless you.